Welcome to God's Pathway to Life for You. I'm your host, Dave. Today we're going to be talking about the book of Hosea. Up next. Well, thank you for returning to the podcast. Before I get started, I'd like to start with my prayer for my listeners. Father, please bless my listeners. Becomes alive to them in a way that they understand. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello. Thanks for returning to the podcast. Yeah, I've been away for a while. You know, I told you that I lost my mother last February. Well, we're almost coming up on the year, so I'm starting to feel a little bit better. You know, I started to fall in my little pity poor wagon in self-deprivation and my fortress of solitude, and, you know, because I like to isolate myself from the world. And I started doing that, and, you know, I started falling into depression and sadness, because depression and sadness are normal state, and happy and joyfulness and positive thinking, we can't maintain that for very long, because, you know, riding too high for so long, we're looking for the crash. But, you know, like I've always been a person that kept all my problems to myself, and so now that my mother's gone, I really have no one to talk to at all. You know, I did talk to her, but now I really don't have anybody to talk to. And she was a big part of my life, and I didn't know that missing or losing somebody that close in my life, because I never really lost a mother before, because it's the first only one I've had, so, and how it affected me, and it really, really affected me pretty hard. And, you know, I had to just walk away from everything, and I walked away from the podcast, and I've neglected you all, and I feel really bad about that. But, you know, if it wasn't for the podcast, I would continue on in my little self-deprivation and isolation. But in the back of my mind, I know that you guys are sitting there wondering what happened to me. Am I going to make another podcast? Where did I go? So really, it's because of you guys that are pulling me out of this little fortress of solitude that I built for myself. And, you know, if it wasn't for you guys downloading, because I can see the stats, and I see that people are downloading the podcast, you know, still to this day, even though I haven't made any recent podcast. So obviously it's helping some people out there. And that's really my whole goal in all of this podcast, is that I'm able to help you guys become better people so you can serve God at your highest capacity. Because that's what life is all about. It's not about all this other garbage that's in the way. What life is truly about, it's about you serving God at your highest capacity in this life. That's it. That's basically what life is about. That's the only purpose of life. And when other people try to tell you about garbage of what life is all about, you know, that's just garbage. It's not about form a fortune. It's not about fame. It's not about status. It's not about any of that. It's about you figuring out how you can serve God at your highest capacity. And the only one way to do that is by reading the Word of God, reading your Bible every day. And I still read my Bible every day. You know, I still go to church. I'm still doing those things, but it's just like I withdrew into myself, because, like I said, you know, that's normal. That's a normal state for us to do. That's because that state of depression, that state of loneliness, that state of isolation, that's a comforting blanket that I put around myself. I'm comfort, I'm warm, I'm safe, I don't have to do anything, I stay like this and I don't have to do anything. Well, that's where the devil's got you, because that's exactly where he wants you to be, in a state of nothingness, because that's what he represents, nothingness. The Satan represents nothingness. And God represents everything positive, everything that goal-oriented setting thing that you do in your life to try to achieve, to progress, to try to move forward in life. That's God, progression, moving forward, becoming, you know, that person that be able to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Christ to live him life through him. See, in about 10 years ago, God came to me. It started speaking to my heart and showing me truth and started feeding me truth. And when I started reading the Bible and started reading the truth and understanding truth, and that's all I ever been eating on for the last 10 years. Well, let me tell you this. If I would have lost my mother and I did not have the Word of God in my heart, I would be in the state of despair. I'd be either drunk, I'd be on drugs, I'd be suicidal, I probably would have already killed myself. But God, knowing that my mother was going to pass away, knew that it would take 10 years of His Word to make my heart strong enough to stand that loss in my life. And that's what I'm saying. God knows our lives. And if we choose to yield to Him, then He will come into our lives and better our lives. And it creates a vacuum in our lives. And then when this vacuum was created in my home, it also caused my mother to go along too. And she started going to church. She started reading the Bible. She started praying. She started getting right with God. And for 10 years, He worked on her life too. And then her life was over. See, that's what I'm saying. Allow God to come into your life. Figure out how to yield, how to have this yielding spirit in your life so you can allow the Holy Spirit to flow through your life. See, the book of Hosea, it's about this guy marrying a prostitute. And this prostitute having a child for him, and then she goes off and sleeps with other guys and has another pops out another more kids. But see, the whole story about the Israelites, the whole story about the Jewish nation, the whole story about the Israelite nation, that is a symbolizes human condition. Because if you look at the Israelites, they were in with God, they were out with God, they were back in, they were back out, they were in, they were out, they were doing right, they do bad, you know. And then God, you know, He deals with that because he sees the outcome. He sees the end of the progression, the end of the plan, the conforming, the transformation of Christ's likeness. But it all begins somewhere. We have to make these steps, and that's what life is. Life is full of these steps that we have to make. And that's what I'm saying. Life is about serving God at your highest capacity. That's what life is all about. If you focus on that, everything else in your life, your rent, your car, your clothes, your food and your icebox, all that other stuff, God will come into your life and make sure that you have those things. And that's what people don't believe me when I tell them that. It's not because God's going to come in and make you rich. No, it's because you have chosen to trust Him. You have chosen to lay your heart in His hand with full conviction. And He knows that because He can see your heart. And when you do lay your heart in God's hand with full conviction, that's when He moves. That's when He comes in because He knows you're truthful. He knows you're straight up with Him. So He's going to come in and He's going to provide for you because that's what the kind of God that He is. He is a God that provides. He's a God that protects. He's a God that comforts. But He also is a God that will break you. He'll be a God that mends you. But when He mends you to make you stronger. And see, that's what I'm saying. You know, God came into my life 10 years ago, made me a better person today than I was 10 years ago. And by doing that, I was able to remove the hate. Because when I was going through my teenage years and my 20-something years, me and my mother butted heads all the time. We were like two rams going after one another because she's a strong leader. She was a strong leader because she was a head charge nurse. That's what her job was in life. She was a charge nurse for 32 years. And when I work and I do things, I've always been a foreman. I've always been the boss. So in the house, you had two leaders. She's a leader and I'm a leader. And we were butting heads constantly because we were both wanting to be in charge. It was only till later, you know, that I developed this hate because I felt like she cheated me. I felt like she owed me. I felt like she wronged me in some way. And so I developed a hate for my mother. And we still talked, but, you know, when she turned her back, I'd call her names. And, you know, it was disrespectful and abused my mother's love. But God came into my life 10 years ago, knowing that my mother only had 10 years of life left, and was able to change my heart from a heart of stone and hatred to a heart of fleshy love. And I loved my mother. And I loved her at the end of life. You know, I didn't have a hatred for my mother. I learned to live with my mother. I learned that those things that she was doing that was pissing me off, I learned to just blow it over, to forget about it, just to let it happen and not get upset. I learned how to love another person, my mother. And I learned how to look away the displeasure things that she did, the things that I displeased me. You know, I looked away from it. I didn't choose not to see it. You know, I only focused on the positive and the love and the kindness. And me, you know, that's what I'm saying. The last 10 years of my mother's life, I finally was a son. I finally became a son to her. And it wasn't me. I didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to be a good son. You know, I think I'm going to be a good person and start going to church and stuff and reading the Bible. And no, God came to me. God found me in my miserable state of despair and self-deprivation and selfishness. That's where God found me, in the garbage, in the gutters of life. And God picked me up and cleaned me off and showed me a better way. And man, once I started reading the Bible, once I started going to church, and when I started allowing God to live his life through me, the 10 years, I'm coming up on 10 years now. I think at the end of this September, I think will be 10 years of going to church and reading the Bible. And let me tell you something, it was rough, it's hard. It's not an easy thing to go from a lost state to a Christian. Because a Christian is somebody that doesn't cuss. A Christian is somebody who doesn't smoke, drink, drive erratically, is not rude. A Christian is someone who's patient, who's kind, who's gentle, who's loving. Okay, well, you know, I was never, in the last 40-something years of my life, I was none of that. I was a hateful, disrespectful, selfish person that cussed because I worked in construction for 20 years. So I talked like a construction worker. Everything out of my mouth was F this and F that and GD and G that and, you know, everything else. And so, you know, I was garbage. I was literally on the other side of the spectrum, all the way over on the other side of the spectrum. I was so bound for hell that, you know, I could feel the heat. But Christ is the one that came into my life, God, and pulled me back from that brink of destruction. So I owe everything to him because I didn't choose this life. This life chose me. The only thing I did was say, okay, I'll do it. I accepted it. I accepted this life and started weeding the things out of my life, removing the things out of my life. Not because God said, remove the sin out of your life or I won't deal with you. No, I wanted to remove the sin out of my life because so I can get closer to God. Because with sin in my life, I can't get close to him. So when I started removing sin out of my life, I started growing closer to God. And now I live close to God, but I could be closer. When we get into this book of Hosea, you know, I said all that because I'm saying that, you know, it doesn't matter how far away from God you are. God is in your life. If you're listening to this podcast, God is in your life. He's talking to you. He's telling you, hey, you know, I'm here to save you. I can do what David's saying. I can take you from point A to point B. I can transform you into a better person, but you got to yield. You got to learn how to take the word in. And that's the key, reading the Bible, because it's reading the word of God that washes the garbage out of our heads. If you don't read the Bible, you'll never wash the garbage out of your head. You know, it's like a game. If I created a game and I make a booklet, a manual on how to play the game, if you never read the booklet, how are you going to play the game, right? So the Bible's the same way. This is a booklet for life. This is a manual for life, not with rules and regulations, but with standards and practices that are valuable because they work. They take a heart of stone and they turn it into a heart of flesh. That way you can serve God at your highest capacity. That's what this whole thing is about. And like I said, you know, the book of Hosea is about that. We're going to see the Israel nation, like I said, the Israelite nation represents the human condition. We're in, we're good, we're out, we're bad, we're in, we're out, we're in, we're out, you know. So what we see in Hosea is that Israel and Judah and the Israelite nation has turned their back on God, has walked away from God. But God has a plan in store for them to bring them back. And that's what we're going to be getting into. So, you know, I kind of rambled on. I missed you guys. I just, all that has to be said. It all has to be said. So, you know, I burned 15 minutes. So if you listen to me ramble on for 15 minutes, you know, I'm sorry. But here we are. Okay, so let's get into this book of Hosea. In chapter 1, we see the word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. So in that first part of the book, Hosea is the son of Beeri. And then he was born, all this happened in the days of King Hosea, King Jotham, King Ahaz, King Hezekiah. And those are the kings of Judah. Because at this point, Israel, the Jewish nation, is split in half. There's an upper half, which is northern, and a lower half, the southern half, is Israel. So when he gives off those Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, those are the kings in the northern half. And then the Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel, he's the king of the lower half, the southern half. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife who's a prostitute herself and children of prostitution. For the land has committed great unfaithfulness, departing from the Lord. Now he's talking about Israelite when he says the land has committed great unfaithfulness. He's talking about the Jewish nation, the Israel nation. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diliam, who conceived and bore him a son, and the Lord said, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. And it shall come to pass in that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Now Jezreel, this when he starts talking about this, you might remember one of the stories about Jezreel, and that's with the garden. And King Hezekiah had that garden that was next to him that didn't belong to him. And his wife, Jezebel, conceived a document to go after the guy that owned that garden next to the king's palace and have him killed. And then the king was able to take over that guy's possession. Because the king tried to buy it, but you can't buy in Israel land. God said you can't sell this land, so he couldn't sell it to the king. And he told the king that. But Jezebel went and took his ring, his signet ring, and forged the document to have him arrested and killed, blood of Jezreel. And there's other battles that certain happened at Jezreel too. So this place, Jezreel, is pretty significant. And we'll, as we continue to read, you'll see. And then see, on the second part, on the first part, it said he went and took a daughter of Gomer, the daughter of Diliam, who conceived and bore him a son, okay? So she naturally had a son by him. So he went into her, they had mutual relations, she conceived, bore him a son. Okay, so you got that part. Okay, here's the second part. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. And God said to him, call her name Lo-Hurami, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah and will save them by their Lord God. It will not save them by bow or by sword or by battle or by horse or by horsemen. Now, when she had winged Lo-Ruhami, she conceived and bore a son, and God said, call his name Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Okay, those last two children that she had, like I said, she was a woman of prostitution. So she was out sleeping around, and she found another guy, had sex, conceived a daughter, went out again after she had that daughter, had sex with some other strange person, and bore another son. And that's that Lo who am I. So, you know, those last two kids in this first chapter are illegitimate children. That's why it says, you know, Lo, here am I, you are not my people, and I will not be your God. But as we get into verse 10, we see that there's an ancient promise. It says, yet the number of children of the house of Israel shall be like the sands of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it said was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. So when he's talking about that, you know, right now, see, the Israel nation, the Jewish nation, is not really aligned with God. They're still following after these fallen pagan gods, because remember, when God presented the Messiah to them, they rejected the Messiah and they killed him. Okay, so after they killed Jesus, they went along with their own lives as they, you know, still waiting for the Messiah. So that's what they're doing now over in Israel at this current time. They're preparing for the Messiah to come, but the Messiah has already come, but they rejected him. But see, at some point in time, Israel will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's where you get, and it shall come to pass, the place where it said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. But see, remember, I told you, God sees every, the beginning and the end all at one time. So he knows that at some point in time, the Israel nation will have a change of heart and will turn to him and turn away from their pagan false gods. And that's why this blessing of future restoration of Israel is in the first chapter of Hosea as we start getting into this book. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it doesn't matter how far away you from God you are, you can always turn, face God, and start removing things out of your life to get closer to God. Because he doesn't withdraw from you, you withdraw from him. He's stationary. He's waiting for you to come back to him. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's pretty amazing that what this book of Hosea, you know, it's only got 14 chapters and it's going to be pretty short. So, you know, I just wanted to share that with you, this book of Hosea. I hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, that's all I have for today. Let me do my little script and then we'll be out. Okay, I got the call to action. Share the podcast with somebody. Start a prayer list. Find people. Add it. Keep track when God answers a prayer. If you're lost and you found the podcast, this is your chance to join God's family. You must live a repentance of life, turn from sin and evil, turn to God, his Son, and the Word. Live a life that God has made before the world was ever made. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that my sins separate me from you. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I choose today by faith to invite you into my heart to take control of my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I willingly choose to turn from sin, to turn to you. Please forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean. Give me a home in heaven with you when I die. Change me, make me a new person. Help me now to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, if you're lost, you know, make that statement of faith right now between you and Christ personally. And then go find a church. Make a public statement of faith. Give your life over to Christ. Get baptized. Start reading your Bible. Start going to church. Start supporting your church. You know, be there. Help them clean the building, paint the building, repair the building. You know, cut the grass, you know, be a part of your church family. And when you start doing that, you'll find joy. Trust me, it's really joyous. I invite you to live stream church services at South Heights Baptist Church. The Facebook link is in the description, so check out this episode for that in the description box. If God has placed it on your heart to donate to the church, there's a link in the description box for that. Check that out. Okay, that's all I have today. Remember to say something nice to somebody you don't know, because God said we're all strangers too, and he loved us so. Your friend in Christ, Dave. Bye.